You need to turn to Philippians chapter 4. Come on, get your Bibles and turn to Philippians 4. I want to talk to you about gentleness. If you're here for the very first time, okay, maybe you just got a little freaked out. I don't think I do anyway, normally start out that way. But I did just to ask you, when you think of the word gentleness, what picture comes to your mind? I mean, when you think about gentleness, what picture comes to your mind? What do you see? When you think about that, a lot of times people see animals, maybe dogs or cats. I understand the dog part, not the cat part, but I'm just kidding, Roxanne. Okay, you know, maybe you think of butterflies or a child with a horse, or maybe you think of a Bible verse or something, maybe about the lion and the lamb. You know, how could that ever happen without gentleness? So here's what I want you to do. I want you to participate with me in this. I want you to think about and get in your mind something that depicts gentleness to you. Now, what are you thinking about? Here's the thing. I can tell you what you're not thinking about. Almost any time we bring this subject up, if we're thinking about gentleness, we most often never think of people. Especially with a face. Now, you might think of people in the sense of maybe a soldier that is showing kindness and gentleness to a person that's in need. We almost never think of a person when it comes to gentleness. Now, I know there's exceptions to that. I did this first service, and after the service, a dear lady came up to me, and she said, "Pastor John, I just want to let you know, when you said get something in your mind that you think shows gentleness," she said, "I thought of my husband." So that's awesome. I said, but let me just tell you something. I said this to her. I said, I don't think that means that I was wrong. I think that means that you're blessed. Right? Because if we're able to conjure this up, you know, and think about, you know, you ever heard somebody describe them, man, they're just a bull in a china shop. Right? They're just a bull in a china shop. You know, they're not gentle. They're just a bull in a china shop. Or, boy, that person, I really love them to death. They just have an edge. Right? You know, maybe you need to look somebody next to you. So, you know, you just have an edge. I love you, but you just have an edge, right? I mean, most of the time when we think about gentleness and what it is, it's really easy to think about what it's not. Now, in this particular subject of gentleness, one of the things that I learned this week reading Randy Frazee's little book was that he referred to a Gallup survey that was done on the 30 ideas that we've talked about. Well, we've talked about 29 after today. Next week is week number 30. Remember, the first 10 was about the great doctrines of the church. The second 10 was about spiritual disciplines of the believer, worship and Bible study and prayer and all these things. And in the last 9 weeks, and 10 weeks will be next week, we've talked about the fruits of the Spirit, how we need to have these fruits in increasing measure in our lives. And this Gallup survey that they did, gentleness was dead last. When they asked these questions that kind of showed how people were doing with all of these ideas, with all of these qualities, with all of these spiritual disciplines, and all of these fruits, gentleness was dead last. In other words, it's rare, it's evasive. Matter of fact, he said in that Gallup survey that they ask this question: are you known as someone who raises their voice? And that was what kind of pushed this idea of gentleness way down the list. Because you know what? It's difficult to recite this key idea: I am thoughtful, considerate, and calm in my dealings with others. That's our key idea for today. I am thoughtful, I am considerate, I am calm in my dealings with others. Now what I found out too that was really interesting, that this Gallup survey also said that there was really hardly any measurable difference between believers and non-believers when it came to gentleness. In other words, you would think that if you gave this survey to a bunch of people out in the world, that you would see that they'd score really low on gentleness, and then you would hope that if they did that same survey in the church with Christian people, with people that were born again, people that were born in the church or had been converted by the teachings of Jesus, people that had stepped out on faith and said, I want to live like Jesus, I want to have His Spirit inside of me, you would think that there would be a marked difference between those people and unbelievers. But what they found was that there was such a slight difference that it almost couldn't be measured. And I think that's one of the things that's probably even more problematic about this. Our key verse today comes from Philippians chapter 4, verse 5, where it says, "Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near." I love that passage because what it's talking about is not what I say about myself, but what other people see in me. You know, it's the same kind of thing that you read about in the New Testament in the book of Acts when it's talking about the believers, the Christians, and it says that they were first called Christians at Antioch. In other words, Christian was not a term that the church developed and adopted for themselves. It wasn't that they said, hey, we want to be called Christians. It was no, the people in society looked at them, how they lived, recognized that they lived like Jesus, and called them, brand new word, us, they're Christians. And if you've ever seen that word divided in the compound word put together, it literally means like Christ or little Christ, that they were Christians because people looked at them, and because of the way they lived, they were Christians. And I think the same is true in this verse when it says, "Let your gentleness be evident to all." You see, it's not up to me for me to go out into the world and say, you know what, I'm gentle. That's who I am. No, people are going to recognize that quality in you by how you live. Matter of fact, it really doesn't matter what you think about yourself with this subject of gentleness, because a lot of times we are absolutely wrong. I find it interesting also with this particular passage when you talk about, he says, he didn't look at it, he says the Lord is near. Why does he add that? Okay, "But let your gentleness be evident to all, the Lord is near." I was talking about that and kind of researching and looking at it in the Bible, and it was actually Don McClune, when I said something to him, and we were talking about it, and I think from a counselor's heart, and from somebody that deals and helps people who are having difficulties in life, he said, you know, John, that, to me, he said, that just means that the Lord is watching. You know, I mean, it's okay if we say, you know what, I'm a gentle person in how I deal with other people. Well, maybe not. What would other people say about you? Let your gentleness be evident to all. In other words, let them look and see how you're living, how you're acting, and then let them call you gentle if you are gentle. And oh, by the way, the Lord is near. You see how that ramps that whole thought up? You know, you need to be gentle. People need to recognize that you're gentle. And by the way, Jesus is watching. When Paul uses these words, he uses two different words to describe this idea of gentleness. The first one is the word that he uses in Philippians chapter 4, verse 5, this particular verse, this key verse, epikeia. And it's a word that means thoughtful. It means considerate. It means that you do what's necessary to keep the peace. So he says, let your gentleness be evident to all. Let your thoughtfulness, let your consideration of others, let your pursuit of peace be evident to everybody that's around you. That's the word that he uses in Philippians chapter 4. And then in Galatians chapter 5, where he lists these fruits of the Spirit, he uses the word prodos. And this is a very, very different word. It's actually, if you study it, it's a medical term. It's a medical term referring to medicine. And basically the connotation is it's medicine that tastes good. It's medicine that goes down easy. It's medicine that's easy to take. You know, one of the great tragedies, I think, of people my age and those of you that are here that are older than me, I remember the time when I was a kid that, you know, if I had an upset stomach or something, my mother would say, hey, Elaine, my older sister, or Deborah, my older sister, or Susan, my older sister, or Jennifer, or Pat, all my sisters. She never asked my brother to do this, but she always asked my sisters, would you go get that syrup of Ipecac? You remember this stuff? Is that not the most awful concoction that's ever been put together? And my mother was of the generation that she thought that sometimes you just needed to give them something that just helped them hurl. Right? That's not what Paul's talking about, okay? That's the whole point. That's not the kind of medicine that Paul's talking about. I remember, you know, when I was young, that my mother, you know, she would give us Pepto-Bismol. And you know, I'm not even sure if that's still around. Ah, that's another awful concoction. You know, you kind of develop a taste for that, I think, as you get older. But I remember Arlene and I, some years ago, we painted a bathroom, and we really didn't do it on purpose. But, man, we painted this bathroom. It looked just like Pepto-Bismol from floor to ceiling. I remember we repainted it the next day. I can't go in there. That's not the color that a bathroom should be, right? That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about spoonful of medicine or spoonful of sugar makes the medicine go down. He's talking about medicine that tastes good, medicine that's easy on the stomach. Think about that, folks. Put these two words together and you get the thought of what Paul is trying to say here. Thoughtful, considerate, someone that works at bringing peace, someone that takes and gives medicine, but not something awful that's hard and harsh, but something that's easy on the stomach. Just a few days ago, I had this situation. I was up in, I was 25 miles north of Williamsport in the mountains with a group of men doing I was invited by a friend of mine to come up and to speak to the men from this church, and I did. And I've known this for years, but on Friday evening, they had lasagna for supper. And I've known forever, I just cannot eat spaghetti sauce, you know? But you put something like that down in front of me, well, I got to eat it. You know, I convince myself that I'm going to starve to death and die if I don't eat it. And I'm going to have a little bit of a period of being uncomfortable, but I can get through that. Well, I didn't think about that. When I ate supper at 6 o'clock, by 6:15, I wasn't feeling very good. And at 7:30, I stood up to speak. And I was responsible to speak for 2 hours, 7:30 to 9:30. About 7:45, man, I wasn't feeling good. I literally thought that I was going to... Yes, that. I'm serious. I knew one person in the room, and I'm thinking, and I'm telling you, I was actually speaking and praying at the same time, and I'm not sure what I was saying, but I know what I was praying. I was saying, dear Lord, please, please, please don't let me get sick. And, you know, in my spirit, you know, I was hearing things like, you dummy, you knew this. You know, I was praying this prayer, and, you know, I was just praying, dear Lord, please don't let me, you know, please let me get through this, and I made it, okay? I didn't. I was like, oh, dear Lord, thank you. You know, I mean, it was just like unbelievable. Have you ever had that kind of upset stomach? You know, that kind of churning? You know, I don't feel so good. I might be sick. I need to get near the bathroom or whatever. You see, that's what Paul says that the lack of gentleness will generate. You know, it just, maybe it doesn't make you full-blown sick, but it just upsets you. It just makes you uneasy. It makes you have this this thing deep down inside of you. And listen, in case you're thinking about that, what Paul is describing here when he talks about gentleness and when he talks about being thoughtful and considerate and works at peace, and that you are easy on the stomach, and that you're, you know, this medicine that's easy to take and makes people well. He's not talking about here that God wants us to be weak. Gentleness is not weakness. Matter of fact, I think the best way to describe it that is accurate is to think about a racehorse. Gentleness is like a racehorse, a thoroughbred. You know, the sport of kings. I mean, have you ever watched a racehorse? You know, every spring here, in just a few weeks, we'll watch the Kentucky Derby, and you know, these beautiful animals, these majestic animals. You know, they're patting them on the nose, and they're riding them to the gate, and they put them in the gate, and that gun sounds, and that gate opens, and they shoot out of there like a cannon, like a bullet. But man, it is so graceful. It is so gentle. I mean, really, wouldn't you describe it that way? But yet, it is a gentleness coupled with a power and a might that's unrivaled. That's a racehorse. That's a thoroughbred. And I think that's what God is saying to us that gentleness can be. It's not a weakness. It's a harnessed power. Matter of fact, Proverbs 15, I love this one. Proverbs 15, verse 1 says, "A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger." If there's ever a verse that you need to memorize, this is it. A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. You know, and we need to understand, and we need to ask ourselves, you know, how are we doing in this? I mean, when we're put in a situation where things get a little bit, the temperature is raised or whatever, do we just fly off the handle? Do we burn with resentment and bitterness? Or do we understand this, that even when somebody speaks harshly to you, that if you return that harshness with a gentle answer, that the temperature of the situation in the room will go down? Folks, God wants us to make a difference that way. He wants us to have this kind of gentleness. It's interesting because I think that the definition of those words, the Greek words that I shared with you a few minutes ago, and also Randy Frazier actually says this in his little book, Think, Act, Believe, but he talks about how when we need to be gentle, we need to keep these three words in mind. Number one is thoughtful. You know, think before we speak. Think before we act. Are you thoughtful? Man, I'm thoughtful. Sometimes I just have this thought, you know, I wish I would have thought about that before I did that. Sometimes that's how we're thoughtful. You know, do we think before we speak? No, a lot of times I think after I speak, and I always think, man, I wish I hadn't said that. Or I wish I'd said it different. You know, we need to be thoughtful before we engage our mind and certainly our mouths. We need to be thoughtful. We need to think about what we need to say, what we ought to say. We need to think about and be thoughtful about what our response should be, what our response ought to be. We need to think and be thoughtful people. We need to think about and be thoughtful about the effects of what I'm about to say or what I'm about to do, what I'm about to be a part of. I mean, you know, my mother, I think I've told you all some stories. My mother had this favorite phrase that she shared with me when I was young. She would say this, and I can close my eyes and I can hear her voice, in her voice, say this to me. "Johnny, you're not that dumb." Yes, I am, Mom. Yeah, I am that dumb. I don't care what you think, right? And she used to tell me, and you know what? When you finally get this, it's a beautiful thing. Just to think. Just evaluate. Think about the past. Think about the future. Think about when you've done this before and the outcome of that, and think about a new way that you can do it and make things better. He says the second word is considerate. You see, think about this. Most of the time when we're evaluating our ability to be gentle, most of the time the consideration is only about ourselves, the effect of this situation on us. And I think the thought here is to consider how this affects other people. To not just think about yourselves, but think about others. The third word he says that he uses is the word calm. Is the word calm. You know, a lot of times people think that the idea of being calm is simply a personality trait. But it's really not. Let me teach you why it's really not. And you say, oh my goodness, it's just not my personality to be calm. I mean, is there ever a situation that you're calm? If there's ever a situation that you're calm, and I think most of us would say, yeah, there's times that I'm calm. Okay, then be that way all the time. Right? But circumstances that go on around us sometimes challenge whether or not we're able to do that. Have you ever flown on a plane? I was on a plane not too awful long ago, and I happened to get the seat with that the exit row's on. And I love that seat because there's more leg room. But this one stewardess, she came up to me. I just by chance, I got that seat, and she came up and she kind of put her hands on her knees and she said, sir, can you sit here? Sure, I can sit here. Well, if you sit here, you may be called on to assist if we have some kind of emergency. So I said, ma'am, are you expecting an emergency? Because if you think there might be one coming, I'm actually getting off, okay? I'm not moving to another seat, right? But they always ask if you can remain calm. Can you, help people out of the plane, Actually, if something actually happens, I'm not going to go out that assigned door right there. I'm actually going to go out of the part of the plane that's not here anymore, right? But can you be calm? We need to be calm. Even when situations are difficult, we should respond with a gentleness, with a calmness. Now, if I've intrigued you in any way, and you're wondering, how am I doing in this? Do I raise the volume of my voice? Am I gentle? And let me just ask you this question. Do you really want to know? I mean, if I've intrigued you at all, it's like, I think I do need to look at this. And am I gentle? Do you really want to know? Do you really want to know if you understand this passage in Philippians, that let your gentleness be evident to all? That you need to be gentle, not just from your perspective, but what other people see in you. And oh, by the way, Jesus is watching. I mean, do you really want to know if you are that person? A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. What a wonderful proverb. But do you really want to know if you're thoughtful? If you're considerate? If you're calm? You see, gentleness is all about how we treat other people. And if you really want to know, ask somebody else. Right? Ask somebody else. Ask other people in your life. You know, husbands, if you really want to know if you're gentle, ask your wife. Ask your neighbors, ask your friends. If you really want to know, and you think, I think I'm doing okay in this, ask other people. And say, listen, I want you to be really honest with me. I want you to tell me how you think I'm doing in this particular area of life. Because if we really want to know, we have to take this self-evaluation, but then we have to even go deeper than that and see what other people think about that. I don't know about you, but I love this fruit. When I was thinking about this particular fruit, this fruit of the Spirit called gentleness, I really kind of disagreed with the Gallup survey that said that it was dead last. And then as I got into it, and as you study it, and as you see what God said, if you see what Jesus said, if you see the words that Paul used, and you evaluate all this, and not just yourself, but other people, and am I thoughtful, am I considerate, am I calm? And all of a sudden you realize, I might not be doing quite as well with this fruit growing in my life as I think. And it's good to just stop and say, God, I want to be gentle. Because let me tell you something. Jesus was gentle with us. I mean, if you look at the life of Jesus, Jesus was so loving. Jesus was so kind. The only time that you ever saw Jesus harsh in any way, it was with people that that thought they were religious, but they really weren't. That thought that they were obeying and pleasing God, but they really were not. I mean, when he dealt with sinners, when he dealt with people that were sick, when he dealt with all the different folks that he rubbed shoulders with in his ministry, he was always so wonderfully gentle. He was like a racehorse of righteousness that was gentle, but yet beautifully powerful. Matter of fact, I think that a good place to go as we conclude is an invitation from Jesus. An invite from Jesus. You know, have you gotten any invitations lately that you just are psyched about? It's interesting because when you think about an invitation to a party, an invitation to a get-together, and most often what we do is we think about people that are going to be there that, man, we can't wait to be around. Oh, so-and-so's going to be there. Man, I love them. They are so great. They are so funny. They are so kind. They are so gentle. You know, they're just fun to be around. They're so encouraging. I just feel better about myself when I'm around them. Isn't it awesome to have people like that? You know, but then when you get an invite, there's also those other people. You know that they are going to be there. And you know who they are, right? It's those people that are just so harsh. They're so edgy. They're the bulls in the china shop. They're the people that you just find it hard to be around. And you just, you know, when you find out that they're going to be there, and then when you go to that party and somebody says to you, they weren't able to come. It's like, oh. You go in the bathroom and you like sing the doxology, thank God. Right? Because all of a sudden you're so happy that you don't have to be around that person. You know, think about it. Some of us are those people. Jesus gives an invitation here. It's in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. I think it's a scripture that's probably really familiar to all of us. He says, come to me, all who are weary, those that have heavy burdens, and I'll give you rest. That is an invitation from Jesus to come and to abide and to be in the presence of what? Of his gentleness. Come to me, all who are weary. I mean, I'm weary sometimes, aren't you? Just wore out. Have a hard time sleeping because so much is on your mind. Just weariness. Or heavy burdens, you know, you've been to the doctor. The diagnosis from the doctor wasn't that good, wasn't that positive. You haven't told anybody yet. Scared to death. Heavy burdens. Burdens, some things that people know and others that people don't know and that you don't want them to know. That's the invitation. Jesus says, come to me, all who are weary and heavy burden, and what? I'll give you rest. It is an invitation into the gentleness of Jesus. And I think that you and I should offer that same invitation to others. I close with this. Have you ever had a problem with a neighbor? Randy Frazee, in this little book, he tells the story about having a problem with one of his neighbors. He had a sprinkling system, and the sprinkling system was getting his neighbor's house wet, and they went back and forth, and there was all kinds of turmoil and all kinds of conflict. You ever had that? You know, it doesn't happen often, but you know, we all have these times. And what do you do with a neighbor that you're having a problem with? Well, first off, we confront the neighbor, and there's this big brouhaha, and then we avoid them. You know, when we're sitting outside, and then they come home, when we see them pull in their drive, if they're close enough, we get up and say, you know what, I need to go in and get something out of the refrigerator. Oh, is that the phone here? We get up and go. You know, we look out the window, and maybe we look, and we see that their car heading home. Oh, I think I'm going to go out and mow the grass or sit on the porch or whatever. We avoid them. We have this conflict. Brouhaha, and then we avoid each other, and guess what? They're doing the same thing with you. But this idea of gentleness, Jesus gives us a different way to look at all of this. He wants us to be thoughtful. He wants us to be considerate. He wants us to be calm. And then he wants us to be gentle as we do all of those things with the people that we rub shoulders with each and every day. Never lose sight of this. A calm parent is always more effective than a raging lunatic. Right? And God calls us to be gentle and kind to all, to let our gentleness be evident to all, and always remember that He is near. Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, you are our example for everything, and certainly, Lord, you are our good example of this. So, Father, may our gentleness be evident to everyone. Lord, may we first of all strive to be gentle and to do an honest evaluation of how we're doing in that. And then, Lord, to realize how other people view us and trust them, Lord, to be a good character of that. And then, Father, may we always be evident of your presence and of your evaluational spirit that you give to us. Father, we want to be gentle. Give us, Lord, certainly the power to be that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.